So I guess I wanted to just, before you go and work on your worksheets to turn them into us by tomorrow at 5, just wanted to see if there was some process or initial questions. And one of the things I wanted to mention is we did have a little bit of conversation about one-time funds. And, you know, there are a few requests in here that appear to, that are one-time in nature. We have done different things in the past. At some times in the past, we have levied for those funds, and then the next year, those levied funds were available for something else, or it was lowered. So that is one possibility, is to levy for it. Another option is, you know, it can be taken out of fund balance, and normally sometimes that's what happens at the last minute, is the 4% fund balance that you have in this proposed budget comes down to 3.3 because of some one-time things. After consultation with Cami, if it's under 100,000, we feel like we can accommodate that. If the one-time requests get more substantial than that, you're gonna see us look very uncomfortable, and we'll wanna have some conversations as to how to do that. So that's option two, is fund balance for small requests. Option three could be, you could take it out of the cuts, the 2019 cut funding, on a one-time basis. So that 2.9, now $2.8 million is sitting in your 2020 proposed budget as a transfer to criminal justice capital projects. It will be ongoing in that regard until you make other decisions. So if the discussion was made to allocate that differently, we could do so, and it wouldn't have to be, it could be ongoing if you decide to restore a cut, or it could be, can I do it one time? And we're able to track that to say, you know, if there was $100,000 in one-time requests, or let's say 150, we could take it out of that on a one-time basis, or ongoing, you just need to let us know. And so, and I think that's what's gonna be key on those worksheets, is if your intent is it for it to hit the funds set aside for budget reductions, it's, you need to let us know, because the way the spreadsheet's gonna work, it's gonna take it out of mill levy. But we can fix and accommodate that, or we're gonna try to find some way to track that so that when you come in on Wednesday, there's some discussion of that. But that's a complication that is gonna make it difficult to when on a first go through, have those conversations.
So the transfer to, this is probably gonna sound dumb, but my mind is, you know. So like the funds that we allotted in the 2018 and 2019 budget for Charles, for the City of Lawrence Police Department body cam project, as it was not used each year, was transferred to fund balance.
It just fell to fund balance. There's no transfer. It just wasn't spent.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as 2019, because the year's not over, right? That money's there, right?
Well,
so that money's in Charles's budget.
Well, let's go look at his budget, because you'll see what we did. Page 7.
Yeah. If you don't mind walking me through this.
No problem. So, he had his assistant district attorney position associated with the City of Lawrence addition of body cams was filled and is filled. So he added that position back then. That person's on staff. There's no savings. That person's currently working.
Just the media person?
Just the media person. But you see here, we already reduced the media person in the 2019 estimated column from 117 to 70. So the only thing right now I have planned for him to try to, you know, when we're sitting in April, what we're trying to do is, are you going to try to fill this position this year? And his word to me was yes. So now if he decides Charles is not going to fill that till 2020, you have 70,000 there that would fall to fund balance. But you can't take the 117, because we've already assumed that the position won't be in place for the full year.
Okay.
But But what I want to point to while we're looking at the detail, go to page 45. Nope, it's not there. It's under CIP. I always get it wrong. I apologize. 52. Page 52. That line 92040 is the transfers to criminal justice capital, which represents the 2019 cuts. You want to ask me about 2019, it gets more complicated. We had some one-time cash that we were able to put on that project in 2019. But the ongoing impact of the reductions made was the 2984362. So if you decide you want to restore a cut, it's going to come out of that line item. If you decide you want to permanently or one time, so there'll be less of that transfer of the 2.98. And then fund balance, as you can see, is under non-appropriated, which is on page 41. Which is currently sitting at just over $2 million for the general fund. And that, so the hard part that we have with fund balance is, because we re-estimate every line in the county budget every year, when Cammie and I sit down to do the 2020 budget, we're looking at every line in the 2019 budget. So, like, for example, with Charles's position, we knew he wasn't going to have a full year spend on that position because it was April and he hadn't started recruitment. So we had a conversation of, can we lower that somewhat? We do that on every line. So we moved it to 70,000. So that 2019, the real reason why we re-estimate every line is so that I have a better sense of fund balance. We capture those savings and plow it into what you see as your 2020 beginning fund balance number.
Page 1.
Which is page 1 of revenues.
Okay.
Just to explain how that works. We are conservative on that. You know, it's June. Charles hasn't recruited. Could that have been 50? Could it have been 30? Could it have been 20? Yes. I also know that, you know, as we've gone through line items, I'm going to say as a general whole, so this is a very big generalization, Douglas County ends its fiscal year $1 million over fund balance, over what our estimates are to end. But we, in essence, count on that. To make that starting number look a little better than it really looks for your 2020 budget. And also it has allowed us to take, it's also allowed us to, some of the savings that we have put aside for like the tax system and the election equipment, all of those projects were funded out of year-end fund balance savings. And so we bring you that long list of transfers at the last meeting of the year. So we try to meet our fund balance target, give ourselves a little bit of cushion if there's room under that. So that's another thing we could do. So maybe that's option 4, but it might make some agencies more nervous. But I know Craig used to do this, is you could direct us to see if we could come up with it at year end. So you could say, we're not going to levy for it. I'm not putting in the 2020 budget. Sarah, put that on your list of your list at year end. And so, like, for example, with Eudora or the RIT project, you could say, we'll try to find room to fund that at year end. So that's another option. It's less secure for those agencies or for those departments. They are kind of waiting for the year to end well. And there's no guarantees if costs go really high. We've had some impacts on fund balance this year, had some revenues off that we might not have a ton left. But it's an option for a small one-time request as well that wouldn't hit the mill levy. Complicated. complicated enough.
No, that makes sense. I just need to be reminded every year, because it's...
No, it's totally confusing, so...
So I appreciate that explanation and my basic math brain. I do want to just say one thing on the conversation that we just finished, and I don't want it to come out the wrong way, and maybe it's because there's several people, different people involved in... And so much going on, but it kind of feeds into my concerns when there's no money there and they know that they don't have any money and they go out and they build up their staff and do their hiring. To me, that's just continuing to feed into, we know we don't have money, but we hope we will, or that somebody will bail us out. And so I don't know who directed them that he says told them to immediately get staffed up and start this model, but when you know that there's going to be a big concern about the funds and you're still spending money, I mean, we just spent a week listening to every community partner that we have and every department we have, and there is no other partner and no other department that continues year after year after year to spend more money than they're bringing in, that continually come back and ask for more and more money. And I know that they're trying. I know that we asked them to get the study, and I want us to help them, but we can't bail them out 100%. And the comment that, well, you know, yeah, we've already hired these people, but there's no money, it's just feeding into my concerns that things really aren't fixed. So I just wanted to get that out there, that kind of took me off guard that we're still spending money that I don't have.
I agree with you. I do think, though, that, you know, they're also, a part of that was also just safety and just managing the population. It's because, like they said, it's working. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think they're trying to balance how they're being pushed by the expectations that are communicated from the community partners that they hear in our care coordination meetings each month. They're trying to meet those obligations that are voiced around the table from every agency partner we've asked to show up. They've shown up, and you know, they've articulated what they need from LCS to be a good partner, and LCS has articulated back to them, you know, here's what we need from you. And I think they're just trying to walk that tightrope. But
I know, yeah. But all of their problems stem from financial problems.
Correct.
So the continued
spending.
I mean, I understand that it's urgent and there's people at their door and that they're and it needs to be safe. I understand that. Mm-hmm. And that all goes back to my downsizing. You know, it's quality, not quantity, like you have said. And
well, I think an interesting thing is I was trying to look in my files, and I know I have it somewhere with their last annual report. Of how many individuals they served in 2018, what their total count was. And I want to say it was about 800 people, single individuals, unduplicated. And when I asked for a similar count from Manhattan, 556 with 400 or 47 beds. So it's not how many you serve, it's how you serve them. And that's the operational shift that I think needs to happen. But
Jill, is it possible to get a more detailed budget? Everyone else filled out a budget sheet, and the homeless shelter, and I understand they're in flux right now, but they did not fill out the same budget sheet. And
are you talking about the one that's found here? Okay, that's what I was looking for, because I had pulled out my one from 2016-17, because Jim gave me his old book, so I had 4 years. But to be honest with you, Patrick, it doesn't match from year to year.
Okay, well, so are a couple organizations. There's a couple things we can talk later about this for sure that I just want to... Neither did the Chamber of Commerce fill out the same budget form as everybody else. If they're a community partner, I want them filling out the same. I want it apples to apples there. The shelters was different. There's no fund balance listed at all from the the Chamber of Commerce either, and those are conversations, I want to have a conversation with us. I thought, I want to finish up Michelle's thought before I jump somewhere else.
No,
I'm taking us somewhere
that's
new.
Fine. I just wanted to express my concerns.
I was in it too.
Yeah.
But obviously my concerns go even deeper with
And maybe I can
just altered it.
Yeah, and I've told them that if this to add categories if they want to add categories.
Okay.
To because I would say that the fundamental
struggle is
of
there
this
for the chamber. Okay.
Is that no, I mean the struggle is that all of these agencies are independent 501c3s have a different method of accounting
yeah.
than everything we do. So every time we have them ask money of us, we make them put it into general fund accounting and they don't know how to do it.
Right.
So I'm trying to make it as easy as possible
okay.
for them to say, I want to know your revenues and expenses and your fund balance.
But there should still be a beginning fund balance on there.
Well, there's an ending fund balance.
Right.
So what we would just need
to just shift it.
Yeah, we would just put it at the top.
Okay.
So my assumption is if they ended 2018 with 27,744, that's what they actually started 2019 with.
Right. Okay.
So, but I have given them that,
that
flexibility to make this form fit their need because it isn't easy when you look at their financial statements. Now that I would say that home the community shelters was in a very different complete format than the chambers.
I do want us to have a conversation about fund balance. We brought it up with the Conservation Council. I brought it up with visiting nurses and I mean, you know, it's there. It's those community partners' determination of what's the right fund balance. And I think we just need to have a conversation of how much we have another partner who's requesting us to create more fund balance for them. So just what is that? Maybe that's how we do this. Maybe that's the next step, and I just don't know. But
no, I think we should. We have not traditionally had that as a conversation here. So I think it's something that we can definitely look into. What we gave you in your packet on Thursday, but had it by fund balance by fund, but there have been some I found some errors in what Daviana put together.
I'd like to edit it.
So Cammie's going to redo this in terms of what fund balance they have and resend it to you. But you're right. They're all over the board. They're all over the board.
I mean, they need some guidance as well on what would be a reasonable fund balance to have before you ask for where we would fall on that.
But this gets into, ultimately, your question, Commissioner Kelly, about, like, particularly focused on the community shelter, what is our role as a county agency in managing these independent agencies? And some of them are very eager to take our advice and our management, and some are not. I would caution that in terms of us managing these entities, it's important to understand that county government is not a 501c3. So if we were to take over the provision of human services for a particular agency, it could be done, but any donations, so any fundraising, is not tax exempt. So you immediately sort of prohibit that. Now you can create friends organizations that are independent 501c3s that can support those operations, but there are some limitations to what happens if we become the provider of human services. And it's done. I mean, Johnson County, we did it. They were the primary human services provider. Those people were on our payroll. They made capers. They were managed by county administration. But they also had a lot of independent 501c3s that did a lot of work to
fundraise
to do that. And I think we should be strategic into how we look at that and which agencies would be coming into that model first, as opposed to a crisis situation we have to react.
And a local example of that would be the Lawrence Police Foundation.
Correct.
Right.
Bought 48 AEDs to put one in every patrol car because the city of Lawrence refused to provide.
Or the Lawrence Schools.
Saving equipment.
Right, or the Lawrence Schools Foundation, which
yeah.
provides
right.
significant funding to supplement what the school district is not able to do.
And the Lawrence Police Foundation also funded all the CIT training.
Updated numbers.
For all the police and the DA and the sheriff and Justice Matters and Bert Nash and
Can you also provide us a number for the internal service? I have it in my notes, but it...
$263,000, I believe.
Yeah, I have it in my note, but I'd just like to get...
It's exactly the same as the $148,000 and $115,000 that we've given to the community shelter this year.
It was in my overview, but I believe it's $263,000.
Doing her homework, yeah.
Which leads me to the... Oh, go ahead, because I'm dominating this conversation, and I shouldn't be.
I just wanted to make sure we had an actual number out there for us to deal with.
And you said that's already in...
That's in the budget now.
So that is some wiggle room also, correct?
Yes. If the commission decide... And also, in addition to that, we built in $316,000 of LDCFM CIP requests. So, and that...
But that's not enough to cover their CIP requests.
No, agreed.
I was going to ask, what that $316,000... I can't quite make sense of the narrative inside that box. So what is that $316,000?
So let me explain.
Yeah, go ahead.
So when I was coming up to a flat mill levy, all I had left was $316,000. It has nothing to do with their ask. I'll be very transparent. So I was trying to come up with a flat mill levy and look at projects that were fit those guidelines of this is something we already do. So we placed it on their transfers to capital projects line. Their total ask for that, though, is what is reminded in there is that it's the total. They asked for $769,200 for pavement, and they asked for is this the difference between what we funded in 19 and what they asked for in 20?
Yeah. That's 179 is just the cost of the tower, right? And the 300.
Right, we budgeted.
7 is the cost of the tower plus the park.
That's right.
Well, I would say I would prefer to say we budgeted 179,480 was what we were told. I don't know if that's tower and two trees,
yeah,
or if it's tower and half the pavement. I don't know. What I know is that it's $179,480 is what we budgeted for in 19. So I don't want to oversimplify it and say it's just the tower. We budgeted $179,480. We are still holding that in our budget. I have that. They asked this year and last year for $307,680. The difference between those two is $128,200. And you're right, that's not very clear. We probably could put that on this line so that it shows the math.
So we don't know if that's part of the improvements and the replatting and all that?
My understanding is a significant portion of it is related to the replatting and the improvements. But I don't want to... They've not divided it out for me and said, specifically, this goes to structure on the tower, the rest is for trees, and I haven't pushed them on that.
Okay.
I just know that we were originally told 179,480. We budgeted for it. The project grew.
And I think Chief Coffey said it was originally like 700,000, and then it went up to 1.2 million with
so that,
improvements and all that.
That is exactly how we came up with our numbers. So our portion
that's
is off
our
of that
portion
first
off
700
that.
Number, and then when the number changed, that's our other portion. But they haven't divided it out for us.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that leads me to the dead horse that I want to continue. So the improvements. The fact that they're charging, well, one, I have several questions, because I think this is a city building to the east of the park. And it's kind of interesting. There's really difficult to follow a paper trail on this building process and the replat, whether it's in the city's agenda or Planning Commission. I'm having a hard time finding anything. So my question is, can we get a hold of the plans of what this is supposed to look like now, or the new, what improvements are being done is my question. Because if you look at this park real quick, it was established in the 1960s, okay? And they're saying that it was never replatted, which is fine. But in 2013, when they reestablished it and rededicated it, the Chief McSwain Park, and went through all of this stuff, that would have been a great opportunity to replat it, just my thought. But instead, they waited, and they charged their own fire department and in turn are charging us a portion of it. And it's kind of funny to look at the aerials for the last 9 years and watch how it has deteriorated.
So that's part of what I want to say here, is why I don't want to say $179,000 is just for the tower. What I also think happened is that the project, part of what they have done with their CIP process is to try to be a little more thorough on projects and make sure they're properly planning so we don't get into a station one situation again. So I'm not clear on how, when the project was originally proposed to us for our portion being 179 to our portion being 309, there were a variety of things done. Some of it was related to platting and the whole park and the whole site. And some of it may have been they actually just got better numbers on what it's going to cost to build a tower. I have not been able to get more detail on that from the city. I will try again to ask them to sort of an explanation as to why it moved from initially what was proposed to us as a, you know, it was like a $700,000 project or like $500,000 or $600,000 project, our portion being 179 to a 1.2.
And maybe Chief Coffey has some of that information.
We'll try to follow up on that.
I think in order to be accountable to our taxpayers, any time that we're going to get charged more than we were originally asked for, that we need to be able to account for that. So like even this sudden internal service fund, $263,000. You know, I think we need to have this discussion that, hey, starting next year, we're going to be paying $245,000 for personnel to look at Lawrence Police Department's body cam. I mean, yeah, we fund, you know, we oversee Charles's budget, but this is going to be for the City of Lawrence Police Department. So I think it's a wash. I mean, is that bad math?
Well, I mean, I would say that ultimately the staff asked for by the district attorney is his part of the judicial process. It isn't going to directly support body cameras on officers in the field. It's going to review their data and their systems as it proceeds through the judicial process. So I just want to be clear on that. This isn't like we're paying for their IT help or anything on the, and we're actually paying for cameras. We're not doing that.
That's what I recall, is how those cameras were going to change the counties.
Correct.
But this is personnel he said he had to hire specifically for the body cam
because there's going to be a lot more data and a lot more film for them to review. But it's his process. I mean, it's, you're right, but I just don't want to be clear to the public. It's not like we're paying to support cameras on officers.
Oh, no.
It's not like we're paying for the server. We're not doing any of that. This is just simply as a case comes to prosecution. It's just like it's going to take more witness time in the district court for their panel attorney. So the same request is sort of built into the district court budget. If they have more people spending more time on cases, it's because there's more footage to look at.
Well, I understand, but in my mind, it's no different than us being asked to pay for HR and IT and finance at the city when those are people that they already have on their payroll.
I think that's the challenge with this, is how do we deal with the ask that will ultimately be not just a couple, your $300,000, but it might be $500,000 or, you know, grow substantially the more departments they bring online. So if we have a philosophical difference with that, how do we reconcile that? Because that's a conversation that's huge and complicated and just full of landmines. So how do we...
That's one of the reasons why when we were going through the LDCFM negotiations, we've identified it as an issue that needs... Yeah. Commission direction, our plan as a team was that we would try to resolve a few things and then come to you with this long list of here's all the rest of the stuff we still have to do. So I think the resolution will take time as we proceed through those conversations. So
it's just awkward to go ahead and enact the
right budget. Sometimes you're always like, and that's what I would say too, is like the city told us in July of last year about the, or June of last year about the larger CIP requests. It was a little late in our process.
It was the evening of July 10th.
But we've known about it for a year, and so that was part of where what I knew moving into this budget was, is that we had, and I would say largely it is, I think it's great that they're doing a more thorough CIP process so that these items are not surprises that come on us the last minute. So we've known about those CIP requests for a full year. I wish I could have funded the whole amount in the budget. I don't have room under a flat mill levy to do that. So.
Well, for my part, I can say I've done quite a few of these now, and this is a really hard one. It's got so many moving parts. I can only imagine how you're feeling.
Great.
I remember last year, I got so, last year was tough too, but doing the little spreadsheet, I was really struggling with it and found I was spending so much time just trying to make the spreadsheet work versus, what I was trying to do, that I think I came in and just sat down beside you and dictated.
All three of you did.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. It wasn't just me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And that's one of those things.
So we can do that.
You totally year, right? can. Tomorrow would be a great time to do that, if you have time. I would say, though, that if you also just want to make notation and not so on your comment line, and then let us clean it up as to how it impacts the mill levy. Generally, what I have found unusual about this process here at Douglas County is that you immediately have a spreadsheet that's trying to calculate mill levy for you. That makes me very nervous. And with particularly the complications that we have in front of us. Normally what happens is you have each commissioner or commissioners indicate, here are the things I'd like to do. Here are the things I want to cut. Here, person who's paid money to do this, go do the math and then bring it back to us. So I think some of it is just simply, so if you worry less about what it does to the mill levy, but you make your notations as to what you want to achieve, then we'll point it out to you. If you're like, well, you can't do that, we will, that's part of the conversation. And I'll tell you, like, I'm real worried that Wednesday morning in 2 hours, we're not even gonna get through it. And then based off past experience with three commissioners, we won't even make it through the worksheet. So at this rate, I'm almost thinking we may need to plan for another day next week, unless it's...
Didn't we set one
plan for Monday?
Set one, but at that point, if I need another 2 hours of Monday afternoon to even just make it through the spreadsheet, then you've only got like 2 hours to deliberate.
Monday's from 1 to...
1 to 5.
Mark, right?
Oh, no, I guess I assumed I have to put an end on it for the meeting. If you want to go till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, let's do it. I just need to...
Will there be pizza?
If you want me to, I can. You just decide. I thought we were ending at 5. So I just put, we've posted it to be from 1:30 to 5. Because I can't meet at 1 that day. I'm doing preliminary interviews for the emergency management director.
Yeah. Well, I know you have to publish it, but I say maybe we come in Wednesday morning and we start like we have in the past with what we have similar and just knock those out. And if there
and that's
has
assuming we're all on the same page on the math, that's what I want to make sure is that we may need an hour.
So what I will do is I will do my basic things and then send you comments about what I maybe want to have be a one time or what I want to restore, things like that, so that you can figure out how to make that work within the.
And are you, Cammy, pretty much available throughout the day?
Yeah. Available to you.
Yeah, so just we thank you for your service. That'll help.
I just have a hard stop on Wednesday at 10. No, I cannot go longer than that.
I agree, and that's why I think, but on Wednesday, what I guess is if you could look at your calendars for the next week, I'd rather us hold another afternoon next week in case we need it.
Do we want to figure that out now?
Well, I think Michelle's hopeful that we're going to knock it out. Okay. So
no, I
want to schedule that to Wednesday. I can't schedule it Monday. If you want to meet Tuesday, we will be in violation of the Kansas Open Meetings Law. So I'd like us to not do that.
I don't want to keep you two any later than we have to, but I'd like to know, is there any flexibility Monday if we go a little beyond five to?
I'm happy to just keep going.
I need to make arrangements if that's the case, because I had a commitment that night at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
So if, but I will cancel. I'll just won't be there if that's what you need.
Well, no, we can, I mean, why don't you say 6 o'clock if you have to publish it, and we'll try to be done by 5:30 so you can get where you got to go.
Okay.
And then Wednesday morning, we'll figure out, once you have all of our sheets and we see what it looks like, we'll decide if we need to set another. Does that work?
Yeah.
So you Wednesday morning?
Yeah. Are there any other questions we can answer for you
Let's hear. We're still on.
Are we done? Woohoo later. Do you have any other questions?
I just have one question, having not done this before. I have one or I have some possibilities that maybe what their ask was for, I want a percentage of that, not the full. Is that something we've done before?
Yes,
is that
happened.
Okay?
Yes.
And I'll just indicate it on my sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Other things? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.